الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والله بصير بالعباد. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. The next name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're going to look at is Al-Basir. Al-Basir is from the root letters Ba, Sad, Ra, which in Arabic has several meanings: to see, to notice, to behold, to perceive something, to understand or know something, to have insight, or to be acutely aware of something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Basir, means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all of His creation everywhere and in every age. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing, all-seeing. He is the all-perceiving, the all-comprehending. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sight encompasses everything that is conceivable, hidden or apparent. There's no matter how small or hidden something might be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees and hears everything. Allah hears the and sees the sound of the black ants crawling on solid rocks at dark nights. Allah sees mosquitoes spreading their wings at the dark night. He even sees the blood running in its vein at that very dark night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the apparent things that are outward, the zahir, the manifest, and also those things which are hidden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the depths of the seas. In Quran, Allah says, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the khayanat of your eyes. This is a phrase which means that sometimes a person, they steal a glance. They see that the other person is not seeing them. So they steal a glance of that person. And when someone notices them, then they quickly turn their gaze away. Allah says Allah can see that also. Allah sees the khainat al-a'yun wa ma tukhfi sudur, and whatever is inside your chest, Allah sees that. So He knows that which the eyes deceive, the deception of the eyes, the trickery of the eyes, and also what chests conceal. Wallahu basirum bil ibad, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intently sees His servants and their actions. And this is a relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with us, that being our Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all of us every single thing that we do, every single thing that we feel, that we think. But we cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah can see His creation, but the creation, they don't see Him. They will not be able to see Him in this life. Allah says, La tudrikuhu al-absar, that our eyes cannot reach Him. Wa huwa yudrikuhu al-absar. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see everything. And even in the hereafter, we will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but our eyes will not be able to completely encompass His being. No sight can see Allah ta'ala, can completely grasp Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even when the believers, inshallah, will see Him in the hereafter, their sights will not be able to completely encompass Him. Like you can see the sky, but you're not able to encompass that with your sight. So the sky is created by Allah, it's makhluk. So if you cannot encompass a creation by Allah when we see it, we will not be able to encompass Him with our sights on that day. Another aspect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give sight to the believers on that day. And this will be actually be a reward for the believers when they enter into Jannah. They will be able to use their gaze and see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the believers here implies that Allah ta'ala knows their amal, sees their amal, and they will be rewarded with Jannah for being obedient. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also sees the disbelievers, which implies that they will be punished for their crimes, for the disbelief, for being deviant and resentful. And people who were believers, they will be rewarded in the sense that they will be able to see Allah on that day. And those who disbelieved, one punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them out of several. And there is the Jahannam, the fire, and so many other things that are mentioned. But one thing that Allah mentioned specifically in the Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will blind their eyes. And they will not be able to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. Their hearts will not be purified on that day. Allah will not look at them. They will not be able to look at Allah. Allah will not do kalam with them, will not speak to them. They will not be able to speak back at Allah. And their hearts will be not able to look at the glory, at the majesty, at the beauty of Allah. And the reason is because they refuse to see the truth in this worldly life. Hence, in that life, they will not be able to see al-haq, the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn His gaze away from them on that day, this gaze of mercy. So when we realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this name Al-Basir, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always looking at us at all times. So we should also then interact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that we are mindful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at us. And we are mindful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at several things that we are doing. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees our worship, and Allah will reward for us for every single good deed that we do. That even the smallest of deeds, which we might think it's insignificant, it's trivial, we did it but we forgot about that, but Allah saw that good deed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will preserve that good deed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward us for that. Even if it's a very small thing that no one saw, but Allah saw it. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala is Al-Basir. Allah says in Quran that if you do one mithqala dharratin khayran yara, that if you bring to Allah an atom's worth of good deed, Allah will see it. You will see it on that day. Allah will have rewarded. Allah will preserve it for you. And on the other hand, if a person does a bad deed, again, an atom's worth, then the person will also see that because it will be preserved by Allah. Which means that a person should remember that even the smallest act that I do, even the smallest of intentions that I have in my heart, even the pious intentions, even just an irada that I have of some good deed that I want to do, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees it. And if it's something pious, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will preserve it and reward us on that day. Hence, there is no goodness that is small in the sight of Allah. And we should also be careful about this point, that we should do as many good deeds as possible. We should not think this is small, because on that day, nothing will be small. Everything will be rewarded by Allah. We should not leave any good deed thinking that this is small. And we should not do any bad thing thinking that this is small. That's the principle. Don't leave any good thing thinking that it's small, because who knows? Maybe that small amal will become a source of our najat and salvation on that day. And the big, big ibadah that we were thinking that we did this and that and so many other things, maybe they will not be accepted because they lacked ikhlas or sincerity, or there was some other deficiency. So those big ibadat on which we were relying and we were trusting, maybe they will not be of any avail to us. And those small little acts that we did out of sincerity, Allah saw them and Allah used them, Allah made them an excuse for our forgiveness. There's so many stories about that. We have mentioned before also, there's one muhaddis who was writing some book of hadith, and he dipped his pen inside the ink pot and then took it out, and meanwhile a fly came and sat on the nib of that pen and started drinking that ink, thirsty. And that muhaddis, he held his hand for a few moments, allowed that fly to drink, and then when it flew away, he started writing. When he passed away, someone saw him in a dream and asked him what happened. And he said, Allah forgave me because of this amal of mine. Not because of my hadith and khidmat deen. That was not even asked. Even before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picked up this amal and Allah forgave me because of this. Similarly, there was a person, a fahisha woman, who gave some water to a thirsty dog. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that an excuse and enabled her to make tawbah and allowed her to enter into Jannah. Zubaydah Khatun, she did so many big, big deeds, but someone saw her in her dream when she passed away and asked her what happened, and she said that Allah forgave me for one small amal which I didn't even know. And that amal was that I was eating my food and then there was azan. And at that time, my head was not fully completely covered. So I put that morsel down on the plate and I quickly fixed my scarf, my head covering, and then listened to the azan and then I ate that food. And because of this small adab, this small amal of respecting the azan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave me. So whoever is mindful that Allah ta'ala sees all my worship, Allah will reward me for every single, the smallest of the good deeds that I'm doing. And that's why we should never leave any good deed. If you have the opportunity, never leave them thinking that they're small. On the other hand, we should never do any sin thinking that it's small. Because who knows, maybe that small sin, we might be asked about that, questioned about it. And if the questioning starts, then there's no person who can stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and answer those questions. If it's a small or a major sin, it's still a sin. Sin means that we disobeyed Allah. And that's why Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullah alayhi used to say that, oh my friend, do not look whether the sin is big or small, major or minor, but look at the majesty of that being against whom you are sinning. And then every sin will seem very big to you. So what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, the mercy of Allah is that Allah will, we can hope from Allah's mercy that Allah will forgive our minor sins and all the good deeds that we do. There's so many ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes away those small sins. But then Allah is Allah. What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picks any one of those sins? The small, we thought it's small. And this is actually one of the things that the ulama have written, that a person should, one thing that can increase the severity of small sins is when a person starts thinking that they're small and insignificant. It's only a small thing that I did. That increases the repugnance of that sin. And if a person continues to do those small, small sins, lying or backbiting, and these are actually quite big, ashaddu min az-zina, we think it's small, but not one in the eyes of Allah. Lying when you're joking with other people, right? So when a person continues to do small sins without repenting, they can actually convert and transformed into a big sin, major sin, for which we need to make tawbah then. So we should be very careful not to do small sins thinking that they're small, and not to leave good deeds thinking that they're small. And we should also, while we're doing those amal for the sake of Allah, we should think that Allah is watching me and I'm doing this for Allah. We should think it's not for people. We should think that someone asked a person, a sheikh, that how can I get sincerity in my amal, in my actions, in my ibadah? And they said, he replied that, have you ever gone in the fields with your animal, with your sheep and goats? And he said, yes. And he said, at that time, if there is salah, how do you pray? He said, I just lay down my musalla and I start praying. And he asked, do you have any thought that these animals are watching me? He said, no. He said, exactly that's how you should be when you're praying anywhere. That all these people think that they are not noticing you. They're like animals. Or he went ahead and said that think they're like wall. And you're only being noticed by one being, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Allah is all living. He is al-hayyul qayyum. He is alive, all living, and he is watching you and seeing you. And there's no one else who's watching you. Everyone is like dead. They're like a wall. And when you can pray in that kayfiyat, that will give you sincerity. That you're only praying, or you're only doing that ibadah for the sake of Allah. This will become then a cure for arrogance. And that's a very good way to get ikhlas. That a person prays or does any ibadah thinking that Allah is watching, Allah is looking at me, and then responding back and becoming mindful that, Ya Allah, you are gazing upon me. And Allah, this ibadah I'm doing only and only for your sake. And thinking that there's no one else, all other people like a wall. So the name Al-Basir is a very beautiful name, because it helps a person not only to increase in their worship and doing as many small deeds as they can and staying away from as many bad deeds as they can, but at the same time, all their ibadah that they're doing, this name Al-Basir helps to increase the sincerity in that ibadah. That person who is mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that his name is Al-Basir, he will then try only to think about Allah, that Allah is watching me. And that will save him from arrogance. Then, one of the most important benefits of being mindful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Basir, that Allah is looking at me, is that this will prevent a person from disobeying Allah. Whoever is mindful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees him or her, they will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will feel ashamed if they commit any of Allah's prohibitions or abandon any of his commands. That person will not underestimate the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching him. Allah knows what's inside their heart. Now all of us, you know, we have iman. If I ask you, Allah sees you, you say, yes, I know. But one thing is to know thing, and the other thing is to know, is to feel the reality, is to have yakin about it. And that's where we lack. We don't have yakin and conviction. The moment any person has conviction and yakin, then their life will be different. Their actions will be different. when you know that Allah watches me, Allah is looking at me right now at this very moment, and you know this with absolute conviction, certainty, your actions will change. And I'll give you example from our own everyday mundane life, that at the signal at the traffic light, if there is a video camera and you're driving your car, you want to speed through, but then you see the speed limit and you see the camera and you stop, even though there's no cops there, no police, but you know that they have this video camera, this camera there, and if I brake, then my picture will be taken and I will be issued a ticket. Hence, I need to follow traffic laws. Sometimes it happens, in some countries it used to happen, that they had these cameras at different intervals. So the person was driving, he would just stop or slow down at those intervals when he knew the camera is here. But for the other stretch of the journey, he would be speeding. So then what happened, and this we see in Makkah Mukarramah, when you're traveling from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Tayyiba, so on the way you see signs that they're saying that we are observing you with radar, with satellite imagery. Any every single moment of your journey, we are watching that. And then the driver, they slow down, they sort of follow the rule throughout that journey, because they have this mindset, they're mindful of the fact that throughout the journey, they are being watched, they are being observed, and hence they cannot break the traffic law. Actually, we see the same thing in departmental stores. In big stores in the US, you go there, and underneath one roof, you have everything, like Walmart's, right? Everything is there, very precious, you know, thousands of dollars, things are just lying there in front of you. And no one picks it up and keeps them in their pocket. Why? Because there is a system in place of security cameras. There are people sitting and they're watching the store. And if a person picks something and places inside their pocket, they know that I'll be stopped at the gate. And then I'll be embarrassed and there'll be some fine. And that's why they don't do it, because of that fear that we are being observed. Once, a few years ago, it happened that there was an electricity failure, a breakdown, for about 3 minutes. And in those 3 minutes, hundreds of thousands of dollars were lost, because people, they knew that now the camera is not watching them, and they picked up whatever they could and ran in those 3 minutes. So subhanAllah, if you look in our deen of Islam, the Prophet ﷺ, he came and he gave us this message that, O believers, O insan, your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever living. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens. Even if it's the darkest of the night, the darkest of the mountains, the darkest of the ant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see that animal also. Whether you're in privacy, in secrecy, private life, public life, alone, with people, your Rabb is always watching you. He watches you to the extent that يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ. He watches, he looks, he knows the stealing of your gaze and what's inside your breast, what's inside your chest. And this thought became very pakka and pukhta in the hearts of the Sahaba. The Sahaba Ikram were very mindful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching them at all the time. They had this yakin, not simply knowledge. They had yakin and certainty that Allah is watching them, whether they were young or old, men or women. All of them were mindful that at every moment we have to follow, we have to live according to the wish of Allah. Once Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Haris radiallahu ta'ala an, the Prophet asked him that Kaifa asbahta ya Haris, that oh Haris, how did you enter your morning? And he replied that Asbahtu mu'mina haqqa, that I began my morning in such a state that I am a pakka, I'm a true mu'min. And then the Prophet ﷺ asked him that, O Haris, for everything there is a sign. What is the sign of your iman? And he replied that, O Allah, O the Messenger of Allah, my halat, my state is that I'm feeling. And again, it's all about feeling. My feeling is that I am standing in front of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I can see Jannat with my eyes, and I can see Jahannam with my eyes. I can see people being taken to Jannah, and I can see people being taken to Jahannam. And then the Prophet ﷺ replied that, Haris, you have reached the haqiqat, the reality of iman. That when a person has this kafiyat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching them. This is what we call in Hadith Mubarakah is maqam-e ihsan. An ta'budu Allaha ka'annaka tara, fa in lam takun tarahu fa innahu yara. That you worship Allah as if He sees you, or you worship Allah as if you are seeing Him. And when a person has this kafiyat, then that person will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was at the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, at the time of Hazrat Umar bin Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, there was a person, a young person who had some animals, goats, and he was on the walk in the field. And Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala came to him and walked past, and then saw that he's all alone and he has these animals with him. So he wanted to test him. So he asked him that, come, let's eat together. And he replied that, Ana sa'imun, that no, I'm fasting, I cannot eat with you. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he became surprised that he's living inside a jungle all alone, and there's no one to look after him, and he's in a state of fasting, and plus extreme, heat, and he's also doing this hard manual labor. There's no one to praise him also. So he looks to be a person of strong iman. So then he thought that maybe let me test him further. And he asked him after some time that, you have so many goats, why don't you give one to me? And we can slaughter, sacrifice, and then we can eat together at the time of iftar. So that young person said that, these goats, they don't belong to me. They belong to my Malik, my owner. So Abdullah said to him that, there's so many goats. We can take one, and you can say to the Malik, then the wolf ate that animal. Your Malik will not find out in any case. So when he said this, that person, he replied that, if my Malik will not find out, my Malik will not know, but فَأَيْنَ اللَّهُ, where did Allah go? فَأَيْنَ اللَّهُ, where did Allah go? Where did Allah go? Allah knows, Allah is looking. And Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he would often narrate this story, and he would say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed so much iman in the heart of that young person that he's living inside the jungle, and he's saying, فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ, the way will Allah go? If I do this, then what about Allah? Now the father of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, once he was during his time of Khilafat, he was patrolling the streets of Madinah Munawwara. And while on his weekly walks, daily walks, he passed outside a house where he could hear there's some conversation between an elderly mother and her young daughter. And they were talking with each other. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he stopped, he realized that elderly mother, she was asking her girl that, how much milk has the goat given? And she replied that Well, she has given some milk. Then asked her that how much milk, and she said that only a little. So the mother, she said that, when people will come to ask for milk, they will ask for the full amount. So why don't you add some water to that milk? And that girl, she replied that I can't do it. Because Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he has told us not to mix water with milk. And that's why I cannot do this. So the elderly mother, she then replied that, oh, why don't you do it? Amir al-Mu'mineen is not around to see us right now. And when she said this, the girl, she replied that, Amma, if Amir al-Mu'mineen is not looking at us, the Rabb of Amir al-Mu'mineen is still looking at us. This was the iman that she had. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he heard this conversation, he came back home. And next day in the morning, he called that elderly mother and her daughter. And he admonished the mother. And then he asked, what's the age of your daughter? How old is she? Is she of marriageable age? And then after that, because of the taqwa and the piety of that girl, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he proposed that I want to make her my daughter-in-law. And he made her his daughter-in-law. And she was that same girl who later on became the grandmother of Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah. This is iman. That when a person knows that Allah is looking at me, it improves that person's iman to such a degree. It becomes such a strong iman that iman then continues forward in your generations. The barakah continues in onwards in the successive generations. And this iman was not only in men and women, people who were old, even in small kids, you would see such an iman. It said that once a father, he was traveling with his son, and they reached near grapevine, and the father, he was looking at all those grapes, and he was tempted, and he thought that, why, let's just take some for ourselves. So he asked his son to stay at one place and said that, oh, my son, stand here, stay here, and just keep looking, and I just want you to stand guard so that no one comes and catches us. And if someone is coming and someone is looking, then just shout and let me know so that I can move away. So when he went near to take some grapes for himself, he reached the near the tree. And then the child, he screamed, "Ya Abi, ahadun yarana," that, oh my father, there is someone who's looking at us. Father, he got scared. He came back. When he came back, he saw there's no one. So he asked him that, who was looking? And the son replied that, oh father. There's no person was looking, but the Rabb of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was looking at us. So subhanAllah, Allah ta'ala, that's why it says in the Quran that Alam ya'lam bi anna Allaha yara. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allaha yara. That do these people, the unbelievers or idol worshippers or sinners, do they not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking? And we should memorize this ayat of the Quran, and we should repeat it over and over again. We should become mindful of this ayah. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allaha yara. That do they not know that Allah is looking? You read this and you reread these alfaz, a person is amazed. Now, when we reflect and we become mindful of this fact, that when we are sinning, we are sinning in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before the gaze of Allah, in front of Allah, in front of the very Allah is watching us. And then tomorrow, on the day of Qiyamah, how much embarrassment would there be for such a person? So this ayah we should try to remember, Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Once there was a Sahabi in Makkah Mukarramah, and before Iman, he had some relationship with some with some women. Then, when he brought Iman, he came to Medina Tayyibah, settled there. But once he traveled, he had to travel back to Makkah Mukarramah. At that time, it was Isha. And this woman, she saw him. And then she said to him that, you know, such a long time has passed and we haven't met each other. Where were you? And today my husband is also not home. You can come. And he said to her that, oh, I will not come. And then she said that, aren't you the same person that used to cry to meet me and you wanted to be with me and I would always refuse? And now I'm telling you to come, but you're not coming. Why? And he said that I recited the kalama, and because of kalama there is this name of Iman in my heart, and now I'm aware that Allah is watching me. And how can I commit this sin when Allah is watching me? So you see, he's getting invitation of sin. It's complete darkness, and the people of Makkah Mukarramah won't even find out that who he is. But because of the fact that Allah is watching, Allah is al-Basir, that person, he saves himself from that sin. So there are many such stories. There's another Hazrat Abu Sulaiman Darani rahmatullah alayh. It's mentioned about him that there were three friends who went for Hajj, and at one place they felt that we need to go out and get some food for us because the food that we have is less. So the two friends, they said that, okay, we will go out and you can stay inside with our belongings. So Hazrat Sulaiman Darani rahmatullah stayed inside the tent. Meanwhile, the other two friends, they went out to get some food. Actually, in the meanwhile, when he was sitting inside the tent, one Bedouin Arab woman, she came and she entered inside and she did some ishara with her hand as if she's hungry. And he thought that maybe she wants some food. And then at that time, at that point, she replied and said that I'm not asking for roti or food. I want from you what a wife wants from her husband. And I want you. And immediately at that time, this thought came to his mind that Shaitan saw me, that I'm alone. And Shaitan wants to put a distance between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Shaitan has sent someone to deceive me, to make me commit this sin. And at that time, he again became aware that Allah, you are watching me. And Allah, this Shaitan has become so bold that he thinks he can mislead me, he can misguide me. And he thought about this and he started crying. Started crying profusely, and eventually that woman, she saw him crying so much that she also became sort of embarrassed. She had haya, and she then quickly went out and left. And he kept on crying, and eventually went to sleep and said that in his, he had a dream in which he saw Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, and Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam spoke to him inside that dream. And he said to Yusuf alayhi salam that, O Nabi of Allah, you had such a perfection in Kamal that Zulaykha invited you to its sin and you refused. So then Yusuf al-Islam replied that I was able to stay away from that sin because I was a Nabi, because I had the special help of Allah. And that's not something to be amazed, something to be surprised about, because I was a Nabi. Now what is really surprising is that you, being a ghair Nabi, just a friend of Allah, you did that amal, which is the amal of the Nabi of that time. So because of these people, they had this yakin in their heart that they're watched by Allah. That whatever we're doing, Allah is watching it. Allah is looking at us, Allah is seeing us. That's why they were able to stay away from sin. This is a ni'mat. This ni'mat is called Iman-e-Kamil. This ni'mat is called Iman-e-Muhkim. This ni'mat is called complete, absolute, perfect iman. Istihza, that a person is being watched by Allah all the time. And this is the difference between common believers, between us and someone who is truly, firmly established on iman. That's the difference. That's the difference between our lives and the early Muslims. That's the difference between our lives and the Sahaba Ikram. That's the difference between our lives and the beloved awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know things where we don't have yaqeen, and they knew, but they also had yaqeen. They knew that they were being watched by Allah. Everything that they do, Allah is looking. And because of that, there was a fear. We don't have that, have yaqeen, and that's why there is no fear. That's why our eyes are not in our control. Our tongue is not in our control. Our mu'amalat with other people, we make mistakes. We speak lie, white lie, and different kinds of lies. It's very easy for us to do these things. Very easy for us to deceive other people. Why? Because if you look back at the basis, the foundation of all of these things, what's the main sickness? The sickness is that we don't have yaqeen that we are being watched by Allah. We don't have yaqeen that Allah is looking at us, and that one day we will be presented before Allah and we'll have to answer for all the actions that we are doing. And if we have more yaqeen that a child is watching me, and hence I should not do that sin in front of him. I should not watch those images or that video or that movie because the child is with me. And what will he think about me? We feel haya and embarrassed and shame before that child. We hide and do it someplace where the child is not watching. But we don't realize, we're not mindful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us when we are committing those heinous acts, those despicable actions. Hazrat Atta ibn Abi Rabah rahmatullah alayh, he used to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent ilham upon me that, O Atta, tell my servants that when you intend to sin, you close all the doors through which makhluk can look at you. But that one door through which I can see you, you keep that door open. Among all the makhluk, among all the beings that exist, you hold Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least of honor. You value him the least. You hold him in the least of esteem. That if Allah watches you, it's okay, but you want to hide everything from every other people. You put the blinds, you put the curtains, you lock the door, you make sure no one is watching, no one is seeing, you erase the history, erase the cookies and all of that to ensure that there are no tracks that are left through which people can find out. But of all the creation, it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of all the beings, it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person thinks that Allah is watching, then it's okay. We value Allah so less. Again, this is because of our yaqeen. We don't have yaqeen that Allah is looking at us. We know this, but we don't really have the yaqeen about this. And that's why we need to make mehnat. We need to change this be yaqeeni, this lack of certainty, with full certainty. Things that we say with our tongue, things that we know in our mind, we have to force these things into our heart. We have to have attained conviction in our heart. And for that, we have to make some mehnat. We have to make some effort. Allah wants us to make that effort, that we develop this yaqeen inside of ourselves. Allah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ, that indeed we have created insan for mehnat, for hard work, for efforts. We have to make this effort of polishing, strengthening our iman so that we can attain yaqeen. So there is a story in Hadith Mubarakah, which is a very famous story. And this is that story which the Prophet ﷺ used to say, in fact, narrated to Sahaba Ikram multiple times. Sometimes we tell you one story a lot of times and people become, you know, we have listened to this once, so why do we need to, you know, listen to it again? This is that story which the Prophet ﷺ repeated multiple times before the Sahaba. And what is that story? Hadith, there's a person in Bani Israel by the name of Al-Kifl. He was a young person, a lot of wealth, a life of comfort, luxury. Whenever he had any opportunity to sin, he would not hold himself back, but he would commit that sin. In that zamana, there was one poor woman who had some children, and she was very needy. And because of her need, She one day came out of her house, and she came to this person, Kiful's house, and said that I want some money for my children to be able to provide food for them. And Kiful replied that if you want, I can give you this much money, but for that you'll have to spend some time with me. You have to fulfill my desire. But she refused. But her halat, her circumstances were so difficult that once and twice she refused. But the third time she came and she said that I'm so distressed, there's no way out for me. And she said yes to Kifl. And when Kifl came near her, she started shivering and trembling. So he asked her that, why are you trembling? And she said that I've never committed this sin ever in my life. Don't break the seal of Allah. And subhanAllah, she said this, that Allah is watching. Ittaqu, fear Allah, who is watching. And those words had such an impact that Kifl, he thought about this, he stopped. That look, there is a woman here who has children and she's asking for money. And even at this time, she has this khawf, this fear of Allah. She is thinking that Allah is watching us. Allah is looking at this action. And she said those words with so much himma, with so much ikhlas, that those words had an impact on the heart of Kifl. That if she is so needy and dependent, but she still has this fear of Allah, she still is aware, mindful that Allah is looking at her. So look at me, I have so much wealth, and still I'm not mindful that I'm being watched by Allah, that Allah is looking at me. And then he made Tawbah. He made Tawbah that night, and then that same night he passed away. And in the morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his door, it was written that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted the Tawbah of Kifl, and Allah has removed, Allah has wiped away all of his sins. So subhanAllah. And what is interesting about this story is that the Ravi, the narrator who tells us this riwayah, he says that I have heard this story from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not once or twice or thrice, but at least 25 times. And this is a very important point, that 25 times the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated this story to this one Sahabi. And no matter, you know, there are many other Sahabi, and maybe the number would be more than 25. Which means that the Prophet ﷺ would condition the minds of the Sahaba to make them aware that Allah is my. They should become mindful that Allah is looking at them, Allah is seeing them. And for that reason, the Prophet ﷺ used to do tazkira of such stories so often, multiple times, so that a person can become mindful that Allah sees them and they can leave their sins. 25 times, one Ravi. And this was the reason why the Sahaba had this yakin in their heart and they were able to stay away from sins. Hazrat Shaykh Al Hadith Rahmatullah, he has written a story that there was a butcher, a young person was a butcher by profession, and he got attracted to one of the neighbors. One, you know, a girl was living inside a neighborhood, and he was always looking for some opportunity. And one day he got that opportunity, and he said to her that, "I love you, and I cannot stay without you." And that girl, she was very pious, and she replied, "The look that I, you know, the degree to which you love me, I love you even more than that. But Allah is watching, and I fear Allah. I cannot commit this sin." And these words of sincerity, they came out and it struck the heart of that person, of that young butcher. And he felt that Allah is watching. And if she can fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, then why can't I also be mindful of Allah and leave my sinful life? So there and then he made Tawbah. He made irada to leave all of his sins. He made that niyat and then he left. And he left and he was traveling to some place. He wanted to go to some alim and get some ilm of deen, wanted to learn deen. So while he was traveling, he met another pious elderly person, some buzurg. And both of them were sort of traveling now together. And they traveled for about 3 or 4 days. And after a few days, they saw that there was a cloud that was shading them, that was covering them, that was giving them shade. So that young person, butcher, he thought that because of this elderly pious person, we have this shade over us. And even that pious person was thinking that because of my piety, this shade is there, Allah's mercy. But in any case, when they sort of about 3 or 4 days later, they were near their destination. And at one point, they had to depart, they had to sort of change their ways. So that butcher, that young person, when he went on in his direction, they saw that the cloud followed him. And at that time, the pious elderly person, he was very surprised, and he asked him that, "Oh, young man, come back. Which amal did you do? What is your amal that was so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of which Allah is shading you with these clouds?" And that young person, he started crying, he had tears in his eyes. And he said that, "I have no good deed that I have in my whole life. Yes, however, I've made intention not to sin. And I've made this intention of Tawbah. And Allah loves this intention so much. To look at the Kareem, the mercy of Allah, that in this heat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the shade of this cloud." So how does a person get this blessing, this ability to stay away from sin? They get it when they have yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing them, when they're mindful that Allah watches them. And this is the precise lesson we have to relearn. This was the lesson which our early Akabareen, the early Muslims, they would give this lesson to their sons and daughters, to their children when they would be one. Every young person, this was their lesson, part of their tarbiyah, that Allah is watching you. And that's why this was part of their training. The smallest of actions, the biggest of amal, Allah dekhre, Allah dekhte, Allah is watching, Allah is seeing, Allah is with us. And as a result, you will see that there was no sin in their life. Acha, when a person, when there is no sin, it's not that they become angels, they're still insan. And sometimes if because of nafs, they have this taqaza, this temptation to sin, but they have so much yaqeen in their heart that they're able to control that. This is known as wilayat. This deep friendship, intimacy with Allah, that they feel that temptation of sin, but despite that, they're able to remain within the Sharia. This is the rank of wilayat. And in earlier times, even small kids also had this level of yaqeen. Right? And I give you one story about the grapes, right? Ya Abi Ahadun Yarana. That, oh father, there's one being who's watching us. Hadith Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah, he has written that even in young girls, young women, they also had this yaqeen. It was nighttime, pitch black, pitch darkness, and she was alone. And at that time, one person, man, came and touched her hand, and he wanted to touch her. So as soon as he extended his hand to touch her, she said that, "Fear that Allah, fear that Rabb, that Lord, who is looking at us in this darkness in the same way that he looks at us during broad daylight." I'm thinking, just that's complete pitch blackness, darkness, and you can only see the hand. But he tries to extend his hand towards to touch that woman, and look at the yaqeen, the iman of this girl, that she says that even in this darkness of the night, my Rabb is watching me and my Rabb is watching you. Take your hands back. And this yaqeen a person learns when they when they spend time with mashayikh. Because when a person does zikr, in places of zikr, when a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have the environment of zikr, the environment of remembrance. That is how a person develops this yaqeen. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he had a very close student, a top student by the name of Dawood Tai rahmatullah alayh, and he was part of that 40 member council, that council of fiqh, and he was at the pinnacle of piety, in a pahar, a mountain of piety. And as a Dawood Tai rahmatullah alayh, he mentions his story about his own self. He says that I was 4 years old, and my mamu, yani my uncle, my mother's brother, he came, and once he said to me that, "Oh Dawood, remember Allah." And I asked him that, "Oh mamu, how should I remember Allah?" So he said that when you sleep, when you intend to sleep and you're lying on the bed, so three times you should say that Allah is with me, Allah is looking at me. Allah is with me and Allah is watching me. Allah is with me, Allah is watching me. Three times. And then after that you can go to sleep. So he says that I made this my habit. Every day at night I would sleep, and before sleeping I would say, Allah is with me, Allah is watching me. Then after a few days, I met my uncle again and I asked him that this has become my habit. So he said that increase this now. I asked him how many times. He said, now you should say that same formula 21 times. And he said that I increased it and I started reciting this 21 times. Allah is with me, Allah is watching me. Now normally when a young person, when the child, they go to sleep at night, you have such thoughts of nafs and shaitan, they dominate. And there are all kinds of strange and distracting thoughts that come to a person's mind. But you see here that right from the very beginning, they cut the jar of that burai, the root of that sort of sin, and all those sinful things and thoughts were just being cut away, thrown away. They would teach their children that when you sleep, you should recite this before sleeping. Then Allah is looking at, Allah is with me, Allah is watching me. So he said that I made this my habit. Every night I used to say this 21 times. And then he says that I continuously would repeat this over and over again. And because of saying this over and over and over again every night, I was able to attain such a yaqeen that I wasn't even completely 7 years old. I hadn't reached 7 years. But before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made me hafiz of the entire Quran. So when yaqeen enters the heart of a person, then deen becomes easy. And this is the reason why we need to make mihnat. We need to make that effort of trying to increase our yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is with me, Allah is watching me. And we should repeat this multiple times during the day. Multiple times, multiple times. We say this with our tongue, but we want this to be inscribed on our heart. We want these words to go into our heart and become part of our heart, become part of the certainty that we have in our heart. And Allah has given us this opportunity to make this mihnat. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to develop this yaqeen in our heart, to become mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tomorrow, this is also a time for muhasaba. We don't have such actions that we can present before Allah. If you imagine that our whole life is being videotaped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the haqiqat, right? Everything is being taped by Allah. And if tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O my servant, tell me, do you want me to show your video? The video of your life, the movie of your life to people around you? Or would you prefer to go to Jahannam yourself? So maybe the daughter might say that, Ya Allah, don't show my movie to my father. The son might say that, Oh Allah, don't show my movie to my mother. The wife will say that, Allah, don't show my movie, the movie of my life, to my husband. And the husband will say the opposite. The mother might say, Allah, don't show my video before my children. The teacher might say, Allah, don't show my video before my students. The students might say, Allah, don't show my video before my teacher. We would prefer to go to Jahannam ourselves. Allah, we don't want to face that embarrassment and humiliation before other people. Today we have time that we can make true tawbah for all of our sins. We can purify our life. It's about tawbah. We make an intention. Intention to change our life, intention to leave sins, and intention to lead a life of piety, lead a life of taqwa, ita'at, ibadat, taharat, tazkiyah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who can give yaqeen to our early, to the akabareen, to our elders, to our mashayikh, that same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can also grant us the tawfiq. And Allah Ta'ala can also bless us with that same ni'mat of yaqeen. So we make dua to Allah that Allah grant us, may Allah grant us that same yaqeen. Allah grant us that iman e kamil. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the sweetness of iman. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save all of us from the embarrassment of sin. May Allah Ta'ala grant all of us the honor of obedience. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي العلى وحمد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب من يقربنا إليك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين